You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Why does God allow difficulties in our lives? Well, today, Dr. J. Vernon McGee takes us to 2 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2 for the answer to that question and so many more here on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we set off on another great adventure in God's Word. Every time we get on the Bible bus, it's wonderful. So grab your seat, get comfortable, and while you do that, Greg and I have some great letters to share from our fellow passengers on the Bible bus, this time in North America.
And we just love hearing from you. So thank you those who write, email, text, post on Facebook. We just love hearing what God's doing in your life. And let's start with Les in Virginia. My wife and I have been travel nurses since 2016. We worked from coast to coast and from the north to the Gulf of Mexico. All this time, Dr. McGee and his amazing studies have been with us through the radio, internet, and his hardback series. I'm retired now, and I really enjoy my quiet time in the morning. Thank you for sharing so many testimonies with the prayer team. I'm proud to be a part of this and look forward to each day of what's happening in our world. Praying for you guys and glad to help with oil changes as often as possible.
Thank you, Les, and thank you so much for your testimony of being on that world prayer team. And if you don't know what Les is talking about, well, just go to ttb.org/pray and sign up for that daily email. It comes in Monday through Friday, and it will make opening your email that first time only. We can only guarantee the first one when you read through it and pray a life-changing event. After that, it's just boring email. But you're going to want that first time.
And Steve, also, our app, the app that has 100 languages now has the World Prayer Today email on it. So if you use our app, you just open up the app that day and you pray, and you don't even have to get into your email box.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's exciting.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this one, Andy writes, he says, I admit, when I started listening to the program, as I do faithfully every day now and even have set up automatic online monthly donations, that I thought the imagery of hopping on the Bible bus was sophomoric. Ouch. And even silly. I ignored the invitation each time you gave it until one day it clicked. I was wrong, and I repent for thinking that way. I have a one-hour commute to work every day, and I use that time to gladly, lovingly, joyfully hop on the Bible bus. I love it. I feel that I'm in seminary again, but with greater understanding. Proverbs 2, verse 20 says, follow wisdom and stay on the right path. Well, I gladly stand in line and follow the other listeners to get on the Bible bus each morning now. I imagine it in my mind and, well, so happy.
That is an awesome testimony. Thank you so much. We have time for one more.
Here's one more from Herb. I've been listening now for many years and I'm on my third trip on the Bible bus. Good job, Herb. I work with the U.S. military and travel extensively, so I greatly appreciate the app as I can listen to it anywhere. I've even done my daily study with Dr. McGee while waiting for my flight in the airport in Oman. Wow. Mm. I just want to say what a blessing it is to be able to do this daily and how much you have helped me deepen my knowledge of the Bible and my relationship with Jesus. I've been contributing for some time and plan to continue as long as possible.
Wow. And Steve, isn't it the picture that these letters paint of we have people all over the world on buses and waiting in airports, and it's just so exciting.
Yeah. And you know, one other thing, everybody's got a Through the Bible story of listening and of being blessed and something that they've learned. We would sure love it if you could share it with us.
Yes. BibleBus@ttb.org is the email.
Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin?
Father, we rejoice in what you're doing in our lives and the lives of so many around the world. We pray you would open your word to us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go now to 2 Corinthians 1 as Dr. J. Vernon McGee leads us through the Bible.
Now, friends, again, as I come back to this very wonderful book of 2 Corinthians, I feel totally inadequate, and that's not just a pious statement by any means. Totally inadequate to lift out these great truths. They've thrilled my own heart. Now I want to back up just a little today and begin at verse 10 and hit high points again to tie it all together. As you will recall, Paul has emphasized the word comfort, and we saw that that was more than just a saccharine sentimentality. The comfort means to help, to come to the side of, to encourage and strengthen. It has all of those very wonderful meanings. And it means, actually, the word means call to the side of, and it's used to the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul said that God permits us to suffer so that we'll be able to comfort other people, because we'll know God has comforted us. And Paul had the experience. We believe he was sick, nigh unto death, or he could have been in danger of the mob, and we know that he'd had many narrow escapes. And he could say in verse 10, without any air of boasting at all, he could say, he has delivered us. Who delivered us from so great a death? What a wonderful thing that was, that he was delivered. And there's no arrogant and proud boasting here. He's walking softly, but he can say with great assurance, he has delivered me from death. And he can say right at the present, he's delivering me. And then, without any boasting, he says we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul did not know that he would, but he believed that he would. And therefore, on the basis of that, Paul could rejoice, and he could rejoice in the fact that God was permitting him to give out the gospel in that day. Now, he had promised those in Corinth he would come and visit them, but he had not come and visited them. He had failed to do that, and the enemy was saying, well, you can't depend on Brother Paul. He promises something and then he won't make good. And now Paul is going to answer that. And he has to answer it, because back in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, verse 5, he says, but I will come unto you when I pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. But Paul hadn't come, you see, at that particular time. And as a result, why, they were circulating a report that you couldn't depend on the Apostle Paul. And he goes on in verse 12 now to say, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. Now, Paul can say, and when a man can say this, it's a wonderful thing when he can say it and it's true. Paul says, we have acted in holiness and in sincerity. That's the way a Christian ought to act. And Paul says, we have not acted with fickleness. It may look that way, but actually, we have not. And he goes on to say here, in a very wonderful way, that God is faithful, the one that he serves. Verse 18, for as God is true, or God is faithful, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Paul didn't say, I will come and then I won't come, as if he's being fickle. Not that at all. Why? Because God is faithful. And God had led him. He was in the will of God. And the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. In other words, the gospel that he preached was a glorious, positive gospel, and it was yea. And you have here not only the faithful God, but the sure Lord Jesus. Not only that, now he moves down here. He says, for all the promises of God in him are yea. Everything's positive in Christ, and in him, amen. And he's called amen. That's his name in the book of Revelation, under the glory of God by us. Now notice, he says in verse 21, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now you have here not only the faithful God, the true God, and the sure Lord Jesus, but you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I believe very candidly that you have here in this statement at verse 21 and 22, you have here the total ministry of the Holy Spirit today. Now he says here, now he which establisheth us. Now, how do you become established, if you please? Paul, you know, had written to these Corinthians, and they'd been so fickle, and now he's able to conclude that, and he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor's not in vain in the Lord. What does it mean to be established? We believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit convicts. He comes into the world. The Lord Jesus said he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he convicts. And the second thing that he does, if having been convicted, we confess our sin and accept Christ as our Savior, he regenerates us, you see. And he not only regenerates us, he indwells us. And not only does he indwell us, but he baptizes us. And by the way, this expression here is quite interesting in verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you into Christ and hath anointed us is God. God who? God the Holy Spirit, if you please. And we sing sometimes safe in the arms of Jesus, especially at a funeral. Well, the word here is not safe in the arms of Jesus. Well, you're part of his body. You're put into Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're not safe in the arms. You're safe as an arm of Jesus Christ, because the chances are you may be a little finger in the body of Christ. Now, what a wonderful thing this is. And he is speaking here now of the work of the Holy Spirit. And he's using present tense. That's what he's doing for you today, friend. Convicts you. And he regenerates you. And he indwells you. And he baptizes you. Now will you notice, he says here, he hath anointed us as God. Now this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit which is sadly neglected today. And you'll find over in 1 John, it's 1 John 2:20. And if you would turn there, and I hope you will, and read that, you'll find that we have an anointing. And that anointing is the Holy Spirit. And it takes the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, you see. We now transfer from the realm of reason to reality, from the hypothetical to the experimental, from fiction to fact. We rise from the theoretical death to actual living. Now, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Now you have here, and I am going to turn and read that after all, in 1 John 2:20, but ye have an unction, that is an anointing, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. How? By the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, the same chapter, but the anointing which ye've received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true and is no lie, and even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now this is a ministry that we believe is all important, though it is neglected. And he doesn't give you a mail order degree. And this is not knowledge that comes gift wrapped in a box. I think a lot of people think that. You have the Holy Spirit to teach you, Christian friend, and he alone can open the Word of God to you. That's the reason this is a miracle book. And all Christians must depend on the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus said to his own, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot receive them not. But when the Spirit of God has come, he's going to lead you into all truth. Now that's what he wants to do, is to lead you and me into all truth. Now we have here something else that's mentioned, who hath also sealed us. That is a marvelous ministry of the Spirit. We're told, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Can you grieve him away? No, because he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit's going to deliver you someday. He sealed you, friend. And that's just the same as taking a letter down to the post office. And I've already apologized to the people at the post office, and I sure hope they're going to deliver our mail now and then get our mail to us, by the way. But if you want to make sure, you register that letter, and they put a seal on it. And they guarantee they're going to get the letter through when you do that. All legal documents had that. In witness thereof, I set my seal is the way it comes down to us from the Old English. And it's a marking, a branding, a mark of ownership. And out yonder in the early days in the West, they had no fences. They branded their cattle. The Holy Spirit puts the brand on you that you belong to God. And my friend, as a little sheep of his, you're not going to get lost. Oh, you might, but he'll come find you. The Spirit of God is the one, like that woman sweeping the floor, making sure that that wedding ring is going to be found. What a wonderful thing. And then, not only that, but you're given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Actually, it's this. You're given the earnest, which is the Holy Spirit in our heart. Now, an earnest money is money that, you know, you put up, and that means more is to follow. You go and say you want to buy a piece of property, you put up so much. And when you do, that's earnest money, and it means you're going to pay some more. Now, God's given us the Holy Spirit. He says there's more to follow. What a wonderful thing. It's almost like buying on installment plan, but it's not a down payment. Because there may be some defection in the buyer, but there's no defection in this buyer. He purchased us with his blood. Maybe some defection in us. So he put so much down. And when he put so much down, well, that guarantees that the saved soul will be delivered, and it means the saved soul's in escrow today. Now, God has put his Holy Spirit in every believer. He's the earnest. And he's coming to the life of the believer to bring the fullness of God to bear in our experiences. What is it you need today? You know, he's rich in mercy. He's the Father of mercies. What do you need, friends? Won't you go and ask him? You need power? Do you need joy? Do you need wisdom? Do you need help? These are the comforts, because he comforts us. Paul knew it. He'd experienced it. And you're listening to a fellow today that knows it also, because he's experienced it. Now will you listen to him? Verse 23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Now Paul said, if I had come when I said I would come, I would have done what I did in the first epistle. My, that first epistle is filled with correction. And Paul is stern in that epistle, as we'll see in this next chapter. And he says, if I'd come, I'd have been stern with you. But I didn't come, because I wanted to spare you that. I wanted to see if you wouldn't work this out. Verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith. Paul said, I'm not the bishop of your soul. I'm not the one lording it over you. You have freedom in Christ, but we're helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand, he says. You'll have to stand in your own faith, my friend. And Paul says that we wanted to stay away that you might be strengthened in your faith and you might grow. And that's one of the reasons, friends, God permits many of us to undergo certain hardships, certain difficulties in our own lives. Will you notice in chapter 2 now, verse 1, he says, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Paul said, if I had come also something else. Oh, I was discouraged with you, and I would have been in sorrow, and there'd been tears in my eyes. For if I make you sorry, verse 2, who is he that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? You see, Paul didn't want to come, and in his sorrow and with tears in his eyes, he'd have had them weeping. Then who is going to make Paul glad? You see, they were just both of them boo-hooed in the same handkerchief. That wouldn't have been very good, by the way. Now will you notice? He says, and I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. Paul said, I want to come in joy, and I wanted to get word from you that you'd corrected these things. Now had they? Listen to this. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. You know, a great many folks sometimes fall out with the preacher when he preaches a message that is rather severe, a message that, I tell you, bears down on the congregation, and they think that maybe he ought not to do that. Well, may I say to you, He's not a faithful pastor if he doesn't do that. I'll tell you that, my friend. Because we're told to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And any man that's a minister today standing in the pulpit has a tremendous responsibility to rebuke. But a lot of the saints, they don't like that, you know. And Paul says here, I did it not for any reason that I was opposed to you. It was because I loved you. My friend, a faithful pastor shows his love by preaching the word of God as it is, and not by buttering up the congregation. Verse 5, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. He says, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Now, let me remind you of what Paul is speaking. You remember back in the first epistle, Paul rebuked them because they were permitting gross immorality, in fact, incest, in the congregation. And they were shutting their eyes to it, and yet they were running around talking about talking in tongues. Paul says, you get this matter straightened out. And you know what happened? They straightened it out. Well, what happened? Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Now he says here, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And I wonder today if we are ignorant of his devices. Now, in the first letter, will you notice, he told them that they must not tolerate evil. They must put it away. Now, in this second epistle, Paul says the man's repented. The man has come and acknowledged his sin. Now, you ought to forgive him. You see, the devil sometimes, you know, gets us to shut our eyes to gross immorality. Wish I had time to tell you about how that is today. I know one preacher that has had woman trouble in 3 different churches, and every church he went to knew his record, but they took him. Why? Shutting their eyes to gross immorality, and they've hurt the cause of Christ when they did that. But wait a minute. Suppose he had repented, really, turned from his sin, which he did not. Then what should they do? Forgive him. Now, the opposite of that is, there are a lot of old stiff-backed fundamentalists today. They won't forgive anything. My friend, that can be the work of the devil, as well as shutting your eyes to immorality, is not to forgive the one. And that's where Satan gets advantage of a great many Christians. They're so unforgiving. Why, I tell you, there are 2 things you don't hear much today in our conservative churches. You don't hear people asking for forgiveness or saying they're wrong, and you don't hear many people forgiving folks. They have an unforgiving spirit. My, this is important for us to see. Now he says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. What'd Paul do? He stayed there and preached the gospel, because that was the will of God for him. You see, Paul, instead of being fickle, he was faithful. He was faithful to God. And when he was faithful to God, when the door was opened in Troas, in the city of Troy, he stayed there and preached the gospel unto them. But may I say to you, he says here, verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. Paul says, even when I was preaching the gospel, I was grieved in heart, because Titus hadn't come to bring me word concerning you people in the city of Corinth. Now, will you notice from here on, and I don't have time to deal with it, but we are going to see now one of the most wonderful things that has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God today. We'll see that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Our grand adventure through God's entire Word continues next time. Until then, if you need to reach us, just visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE or email biblebus@ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you right back here as the Bible Bus rolls along through the whole Word of God.
Jesus made it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible Bus travelers. Just go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. As always, we'd love to know what's God teaching you.
Whatever you're going through, it might be strong, but there is something on the inside of you that won't let you quit. It's called a promise. There's a promise on the inside of me.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Simile of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We have Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m., and the telephone number for that is 732-434-2231. That's 732-434-2231. Our church service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday sharp. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord once again. I just want to make an announcement here also in terms of the prayer meeting and Bible study. Praise the Lord that we all come together and we just study the Word of God and thank the Lord for the opportunity that He has given each and every one of us, that if we have any type of problems or situations that that part of our lives, that we can look to the Lord Jesus Christ and through what His Word says to us. All of His promises are yea and amen, with conditions that if we believe what the Word of God says. So I just want to make that announcement. Meantime, I want to continue to thank my faith partners and radio listeners that that correspond with us. They we like to hear from you. Praise the Lord. And if you have you need prayer, praise God. If you call and no one answers the phone there, just leave a message and your call will be returned, because we want to continue to stay in touch with our faith partners and radio listeners. I want to pray for all out there in radio land today. Father, in the most precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you so much for the platform that we have. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to minister your word and to just thank you for everything. I ask your blessings to be upon the radio listeners and all those that tune into the broadcast, whether they are regenerated or unregenerated. It does not matter. Your word changes the hearts and the lives of your people. We thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We want to look at, praise the Lord, the Word of God in Hebrew, the 12th chapter. Praise God. And I want to just look at line upon line and precept upon precept. A little here and a little there. Praise God. As what was spoken, glory to God. Because we have the Word of God, and the Bible interprets itself. Does not need us to interpret it, because the Holy Spirit, He's our teacher. He's the best teacher that one can ever have concerning the Word of God. So when we put our trust in Him and allow Him to illuminate the Scriptures so that we could understand what our Father has sent to us. This is a wonderful love letter that He sent to us all. And if we read it, praise the Lord, and believe what it says, that we can have the results of what the Word of God says. All right, in Hebrew 12, in verse, praise God, we'll go down one, first of all, whereby we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Isn't it wonderful that we have witnesses, praise God, that we're not going or hoping for anything with a blind perspective. We have witnesses. We are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Praise God. And those witnesses are the ones that have gone on before us. And we know that God does what He says that He's going to do, that He loves us, praise God, and that where the witnesses are, it is our hope that one day we will be with them, praise God, in the portals of glory. Praise God. Whereby we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, my God, so great a cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded with a greater cloud of witnesses, praise God.
Amen.
And these witnesses, praise God, who, and I'm not speaking about Jehovah witnesses. I'm talking about the witnesses of God.
Yes.
Amen. That's a wonderful thing. And don't mean to downtrod any organization, but I just want to clarify that what witnesses we are talking about, praise God. Because the word has to be explicitly clear concerning the hearers. we speak with the with an understanding so that we can be understood. Praise God. So this witness is Minister Glory. Mm-hmm. We're surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses.
Yes.
And what does the word say here? Praise God.
And let us lay aside every weight.
Praise God. Let us see anything that will try to hinder us, because one day we all going to be in the portals of glory if we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not something that we can just skirt the issues concerning the true witnesses, the word of God, and everything that God has said, and expect to make it in. It's not going to work that way. It says, let us lay aside
every
weight,
anything, bondages,
anything that will try to hinder you or keep you from running this race.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, this is a spiritual race here.
A spiritual race.
It's not a physical race. A lot of folks are trying to run this thing from a natural perspective. It won't work. It never would work. God never intended for it to work that way. Because where we're going is a spiritual place. Amen. It's a place that there's no sickness or disease. There's no demons. It's just peace, and it's the glory of God.
That's right.
So what we're doing is that we're laying aside every weight. And this is a responsibility, praise God, of everyone that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that has to be exalted. So let's look at what it says here. Let us lay aside. Let us. He's talking about us. Church folks now.
Yes.
Folks that are born again. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience this race that is set before us. You see, I want to tell you something today, praise God, that when I look at this, and Mr. Gloria, I come to the spiritual understanding that this is like a marathon here. You understand what I'm saying here? You know, if you, marathon runners, and I'm speaking from a natural perspective now, a marathon runner, when he gets into the race, he lightened himself. In other words, he doesn't have anything that will hinder him from running the race, because he wants that trophy at the end of the race.
Amen.
You see, but now, from a spiritual perspective, we are running this spiritual race. But we're looking to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because he's the crown and everything that we're looking for, praise God, and trying to attain. So the marathon runner, he gets something that's natural that will fade away. But what we get is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That is eternal.
Amen.
So it says, and looking.
Ooh, glory to God.
Minister Glory, what are we talking about here?
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Looking. It never said to glance.
Nope.
It never says to peek.
Nope.
It says to continue to look. You know, that word looking is progressive.
Progressive.
It's a continuation of looking. Keeping your eyes on the prize. Praise God.
That's right.
Yes, it is. Continuing to look to Jesus. Now, let's look at this thing here. If we are continuing to look to Jesus, that means that there's nothing that we will allow to distract us, to try to get our attention. You see, and the forces of darkness always trying to get you or I or members of the body of Christ to stop what we're doing and to look at something else. But see, when we take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we fall into self. That's where we fall into self, when we take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And self cannot produce anything but gross error, defeat, confusion, and all of that. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, then we'll make it through. So he says, looking unto Jesus.
Yes.
Who is the author? Now, the reason that we look unto Jesus Minister Glory, is because, see, he started this.
Yes, he
and
did.
I know everybody out there in Radio Land, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what an author is. Praise God. An author is the one that started this thing.
Amen.
He wrote the book. Praise God. He's the author and the finisher, or perhaps developer. He is the one. Now, Minister Glory, you know, I've often said many times to the members of the church there that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes.
Now, that's very clear there. He started and he finishes. Right. He is a finisher.
Yes, he's the author. And he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning, the end. He's everything. He starts everything in the beginning and he ends everything at the end. And he done it at the end because he said it was finished. Hallelujah.
Praise God. So he's the author and finisher of our faith. Now, of our faith.
Amen.
So if that's true, which I strongly concur with what that statement is saying concerning the author and finisher of our faith, let me tell you something. Then my faith has to be in him.
Yes.
A lot of people try to have their faith in their own ability to try to run this race. But see, you can't do it. Because if you expect to get that prize, when I say prize, I mean I'm speaking in terms of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to keep your eyes on him because he's the one that started it and he is the finisher. Amen. Praise God. The finisher of our faith. You know, I've looked at that in several ways there concerning the finisher of our faith. So that means that my faith cannot be in anything or anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Most folks today put their faith in their church. They put their faith in their own ability. But what is going to take place there is that you're going to miss what Christ has for you, because your faith should be in him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's wonderful. Your faith should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look at the next verse there. Praise God. Yes. There's much more to say about that, but for the time, I don't want to.
He said, and who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
Now, see, this is what it is. So now, if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has to be in terms of what he has done for you. Now, this is revelation. Pray to God. He will give you revelatory insight concerning where your faith should be and who the object of your faith is. It's not the denomination that I'm part of. It's not the church that I pastor. Who it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why I point everyone toward the Lord Jesus Christ, toward Calvary. Praise God. It's not about me. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
So it says for the joy that was set before him. Well, he was happy to do what he did, you know, by dying on Calvary's cross for all of our sins. Amen. You know, it's, minister, it's something when we begin to think about this, because if we really knew the totality of what transpired there on the cross of Calvary, it would beg for description. It really would, because so much took place there, and it's been explained to us, but we still haven't come to that place where we understand it in its entirety. So he says, for the joy.
Joy that was set before him, endured the cross.
Now, wait a minute. So, okay, so now that is true. But would you be joyful going to a cross to be crucified?
No. This was Jesus.
Praise God, because he said that he came to die. He came to die, praise God, that he is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. Do you want to go a little further?
Despising the shame.
Yes.
And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah.
praise God. You see, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us all, our faith has to be in Him. Amen. Because he's our peace, and He's our joy, and He's our salvation, and he is our everything. So if He's our everything, then there's nothing else that's left. And Jesus plus nothing equals salvation.
Amen.
I need you to understand that. Mm-hmm. Jesus plus nothing. So you can't add anything to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. But Minister Glory, you know, through this enduring the cross, I would like for you to read the 10th chapter of Hebrews, 10 and in verse 10 there.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Because through what Jesus done on Calvary's cross for us all, this is where our holiness comes from. Our holiness has nothing to do with me carrying a Bible or looking a certain way with my countenance on my face or dressing the same way. No, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my holiness. He is my righteousness. Holiness is of the Lord. It's not of me. It's not of the church I attend or pastor. It's of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our sanctification is of Jesus.
Amen.
He sanctified us. Praise God. So, Minister Green, would you read that in?
This is by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Once and for all. Once and for all. So, sanctification is not through my works. Me trying to sanctify myself. I've been set apart. You have been set apart.
Yes, right.
You've been made holy.
That's right.
I've been made holy.
Amen.
Not through my own efforts, but it's through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
Good God Almighty. Once and for all. So when my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sanctified. Amen. I'm sanctified. Through my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been made holy.
Amen. Praise
glory to God.
Amen.
Through my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been made righteous.
Praise.
Isn't that something? Right. You know, everything. But today, the body of Christ has gotten caught up in a work mentality. And what happened is that the enemy wants them to continue in that fashion, knowing that they're trying to make themselves holy, they're trying to make themselves righteous, they're trying to sanctify themselves, looking a certain way, and all of this. But it's an exercise of futility. The whole idea is that the Lord Jesus Christ, He sanctified us.
Amen.
He made us holy, Minister Glory.
Yes.
And the scripture says, through the offering of His body once and for all. And I want you to read on down there in Hebrew 10 there, and let's look at it, because we've been sanctified forever. Praise God. It's not just a one-time thing there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And every time we stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done,
mm-hmm.
keep in mind out there in Radio Land, what Jesus has done, not what I've done, not what you have done. And this is where everything runs amok, because folks are trusting in themselves. You see, first of all, He said He's the author and finisher of our faith, and for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. You see, the blessings, the power, the anointing, everything emanated from the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And this is why we must stay focused. Stay focused. Jesus gave us His righteousness, but He did it in the fashion of Him dying on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God, praise God.
Because I know in verse 12 it says, but this man,
yes,
talking about Jesus,
yes,
he had offered one sacrifice for, yes, sins forever. And then he sat down on the right hand of God.
Sacrifice sin once forever.
Forever.
There's only one sacrifice.
One sacrifice.
And he did it. Past, present, and future.
Yes.
There's no other sacrifice. Read a little further down there, Minister Clark.
Okay. From henceforth, expect until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Good God Almighty. For what?
One offering.
For one offering, he's done what?
He hath perfected forever them, us, that are sanctified.
And we are sanctified. And only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at another verse of scripture here, because we're talking about Jesus. We're not talking about our denomination.
No.
We're not speaking about who we are or the church that we pastor. No. We're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the Father sent him for such an ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. The Father sent Jesus. You know, there's so much religion in the world, not only in the world, but in the churches today. Folks are looking for something to make them holy.
Yes.
You know, they look, well, I had a person to call the church and say, well, do you have a choir? Well, no, we don't have no choir. We have a hallelujah choir, but we don't have no physical choir. They come and say, well, do you have the different auxiliaries? I don't need to name them, but all of this, but striking enough, the question was never asked, are you preaching the word of God?
Amen.
You see, folks are looking for everything else. Mm-hmm. No, suppose you have those things and not preaching the word of God. Then by having those things and not preaching the word of God, then what happens is that then you don't have the ability or the wherewithal to operate according to faith. Because the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if the word of God is not there, then you have no opportunity to walk or to embrace faith in whatever it is that's being discussed.
That's right.
You know, so let's go before we get down to the closing here with the 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, because this is all about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is why he's the risen Savior, and he's the ascended Lord. He is the one that sits high and look low.
Amen.
Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. And this is why the adversary, the enemy, wants us to keep talking about ourselves and
right.
what we are doing, instead of giving the glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has done it all. Praise God.
For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
See, so we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It's not me trying to make myself righteous.
Mm-mm.
I'm righteous only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And this is how our perception is, and it has to be clear concerning what Christ has done. You know, Minister Glory, when you look to healing, you need healing in your body,
mm-hmm.
you look to Jesus.
Amen, because he's the healer.
He is the healer.
That's right.
If you, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of this took place at the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Without Calvary, there is no resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say that. People talk about, well, the resurrection. Well, there has to be a death and a burial before there's a resurrection.
Right.
And the Lord Jesus Christ, my God, what has he done for us all?
Mm-hmm.
He's done everything.
Right.
He is all that we need.
All that we need.
You know, we talked about that Sunday. He's all we need.
Yes, amen.
We don't need nothing else.
That's right.
Jesus is all we need.
Mm-hmm.
So he's our peace. And, you know, a lot of folks are being confused and they are going through all kinds of things, but Jesus is all we need.
He's the answer. He's the answer to every problem.
Amen. Amen.
Every problem.
He's the answer to every problem. you know, folks going around, well, give me background information about you. Well, background, I want to tell you what my background was sin. That's what my background was, but I thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I, through Jesus Christ, I am a new creature. Glory to God.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. But Mr. Glory, for the closing quickly, we're going to read that again. There, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. We're going to kind of close on that because
it says, for he, God, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us.
Yes.
Who knew no sin.
Thank you, Jesus.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Jesus made us to have right standing with God. That we are able to do things that are right. Only because of what he's done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, listen, our time has slipped away. We love you all out there in Radio Land. And we thank God for the opportunity. But I want you to just stay tuned here for a moment and listen to what Minister Glory has to tell you concerning the invitation to come to Christ if you don't know him.
Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. God bless you all out there is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.
You are the air. Sun that brightens my day. You're the strength